Okay, so this year we're going to start off with the purpose of the church and two images there. To some people, the church is the image on the left. It's traditional, it's sacred, it's holy. You come to the church, shh. So some other people, the younger people, the church is on the other image, is hallelujah, oh, amen. So which is FBC? And is our church God's church? And I'm very glad this morning God has set us on that note. We have Brother Yidin talking about the family of God. We have the prayers of sending off our family, Sister Jenny. And we're going to start off with one simple question to all of you here. Why are you here? Why are you here in FBC? Ask that question as we start off the new year. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, we just ask for humility for myself, no grandstanding, no ego. We ask as we start off this year, we ask this simple question as, why are we here in FBC? What is our purpose to be in FBC? Why did God put us in FBC together? Let us just ask this question as we move forward to build a healthy church based on Scripture. And we say this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the church is defined in the dictionary as a place. So you will have people ask you, where are you going? I'm going to church. You know, I'm going to church this Sunday. But we all know that church actually, biblically, doesn't refer to a building. It refers to people. The Greek word ekklesia means the called out people. There are two words there. One people, and here's another thing which you must understand is important, is called out, pulled out, taken out, called out by God. But just you, what it means is just because you put a bunch of guys into a building doesn't make them church, you know. So here's something quite, let's start a bit depressing, but at the end will be quite uplifting. Just because people come and sit in the church doesn't make it a church. This is Brother Chu Chan's favorite movie. He won't tell you that, but his favorite movie. Okay? And of course, this is, I love the trilogy. There's a lot of social commentaries on it. And one of the most famous scenes from the first of it, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Caesar, of course, the main character, has a conversation with an orang-utan called Maurice. Since when you name an orang-utan Maurice, it's beyond me. But anyway, and he tells Maurice, apes together, strong. Christians together, strong. All of you in church together, strong. And Boris replies, ape stupid. Ape stupid. Why? Because the camera cuts to one of the most understated scenes in cinema, to me, after he says ape strong, it cuts to a scene where the ape starts to fight. They throw things at one another. They squabble over a bag of chips. Isn't that church? Yeah, this person, he offended me. I go to another church. What you say there about me? Fight lah. We don't get involved in that part. We are here. One day, a friend told me, he was in a golf club. You know the golf club there? You know the people sitting there? Whiskey group. This one sitting here, golf group. That one sitting there, lawyer group. I don't know why the lawyers always kena one, you know. Now, you know, careful, the church is like that. Oh, you see that one there? This one gang, this one another gang, another gang. Apes, stupid. Is FBC stupid? We have to ask ourselves a question. Now, let me take it one step further. If you meet someone out there who's not a Christian, and you tell him he's a Christian, what's the first question I ask you? Are you Protestant or Catholic? Correct or not? I mean, like, you're like Homer Simpson, you know, the joke, you go up there, you expect heaven to be divided, you know. God, is there a place for baptism? This morning, as you and I meet here, many other churches meet, and you would love to believe the churches are together, strong. But one church will accuse another church, you know, this church is not Bible-based. This church doesn't move in the Spirit. This church is selling itself out to pander to the needs of others. This church is very judgmental. Churches are not united. Some people say churches should be big. Other people say churches should be small. Other people say churches should use music, band, guitar. Other churches say you must only use your voices. And this is something I really struggled with. So this morning, we're going to look at a general view of this very complex topic and perhaps get some sense of it. And I want to give you 3 points. The first 2 are found in Scripture. The 3rd to me is, you ask me, the fundamental identity of the church. And the church as the people of God, the church as the body of Christ, and the church as the worshiping community. Now bear with me at this, as we need to go through Scripture a little bit to understand and move away some of our assumptions. Now when you talk the word people of God, you find this in Revelations. And at the end of Revelation, let me just give you a little bit of Revelations. People think Revelation, they think all these images are prophecy. They forget that Revelation starts off with a letter to 7 churches. And it ends with the church. We call this the universal church. And we're going to look at the universal church as the people of God, and then we're going to look at the local church as the body of Christ. And the church universal at the end of time, this is how it says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. It is God and his people and he will wipe away every tear and he will be their God and they will be his people. Now, when you see and hear these words, you would realize they are Old Testament language. So here's the first common, I would propose to you, a wrong assumption people make. The first is they assume the church began in the book of Acts, or with the Great Commission. Acts 2, the believers met together daily. It's great, but you could take it further back. Now, here's where I think if you read a lot of books, everyone gives you a lot of views. I'm going to give you, after a lot of study, what I think this tells you, yeah? First, it tells you that the foundation of the church is at creation. Let me get my Bible out, sorry, in my handphone, okay? And this is what you find in Ephesians. You see, Ephesians Chapter 1, God says that he predestined all of us. The very famous verse is Ephesians 1:4. Everyone knows that. And everyone takes Ephesians 1:4 as talking to ourselves. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. People read choose us as individual, but the context doesn't say that. If you read the end of the chapter of Ephesians 1, he says this, and God placed all things under his feet, verse 22, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him fulfills everything in every way. The church is God's plan from creation. Here's the second mistake a lot of people who write books about churches say. They say the template for the church is Israel. That doesn't go far enough. Acts doesn't go far enough. Israel doesn't go far enough. If you take this language, it goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. This is your building block and the root of the church. And a lot of people miss this. I will share with you a few very good books. Very, very good theologians who pick this up. And why is it the Abrahamic covenant? Because this is after sin, after the flood, and after man tries to do his own church, the Tower of Babel. And God says, this is the people trying to do it, now the people of God will do it. And God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who will bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And here's the mandate of the church. All peoples on earth will be blessed through FBC and every other local church. That's why Paul brings this up again in Romans about the engrafted branches. He brings this up again as the seed of Abraham. The building block of the church is the Abraham covenant, not Israel, not Acts. They follow after that. Let me show you a pattern, okay? Number one, God called one man, Abraham. After he called out one man, what did he do? He called out one family. Which family is that? Any one of you, Bible students? He called out Jacob. After he called out one man, after he called out one family, he called out one nation, Israel. You see the pattern? And then finally, he called out the church. To understand the church, you need to see the patterns in all of this. This is your blueprint. This is where we start to build the church. So here's the big picture. Church isn't just us. Church is many churches. And the vision for us is to bless the nations. The Great Commission reads into this. Acts reads into this. The history of Israel reads into this. So here's the first point. The church exists to glorify God, not to serve our needs. Now, I want to pick up something Sister Jenny said. Let's be honest. We all came with needs. Some of us were just lonely, so we came to church. Hopefully, we find friends. Takes a lot to say that, huh? Some of us came because we wanted a place for our kids. Some of us, it's just habit. Every Sunday, used to go to church. I just came to Subang, move here, go to church law. So we all came with needs. But if you take the Abraham covenant, what it's saying is that God's view is to take man who is individual and transform him into a spiritual family. To use the words of Brother Yidian. And here's the first indictment of the church. They call this the church of the, you know what they call this? The church of the revolving door. I come to FBC because I have needs. After a while, my needs are met. So I center the church on myself. After a while, I fight with somebody. Or my children get into an argument. Or I don't like the elders. I don't like Arnold, lah. He talk too much, lah. Oh, this fellow big mouth, offend me. So I do what? I go shopping for church. I shop, lah. I go to another church in UAJ3, lah. I go to Kelana Jaya. Oh, you know, I'm a young person. Oh, people here 50 years old, oh, very old, lah. Worship so boring, unless, of course, when Brandon worships, lah. Then I go to PJ. Wow, this church shock, man. Wow. Shock, lah. You see where we're going with that? One very famous theologian from Singapore, Simon Chan, to me, the best book on church which I read. He said the church operates in what we call a free market capitalism. We are cannibalizing and competing for members. Wow. Since the young people don't like FBC, we position FBC for older people. La. We have more food. We do programs. That one really work. We brand the church. So people, he called it, the church has become a service provider. So you come to church, this church got something for our kids, tick. How's the worship? Worship fits my style of music, tick. Sermon, well, very chong hei la. Especially Arnold speaks la. Not so thick, thick, thick. Okay lah, I stay. But that's not church. The Abraham covenant tells you, you are here to bless the nations. You come here because God wants to change you and I, to impact the community, to repent of our sins, to make us love people we don't like, we betahan. That is the purpose of the church. It exists to glorify God. I'll tell you how we do that, but let's get the big picture right. Secondly, the church is a Sunday and everyday community. You take the Great Commission and you take the Abraham Covenant and you line them both up, you find the language is very similar. Look at what Jesus says. I will make you disciples of all nations. And what God tells Abraham, the all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It means church doesn't exist just on Sunday. Tomorrow, the church is going to go to work. The church is going to go home. The church is going to play ping pong on Thursday. The church is going to go jogging in a park because you and I are ambassadors. And you power up on Sunday. That's the function of the church. You power up on Sunday so that God sends you out on Monday to Saturday to reach the nations and bless the nations. Where do you find support of this? We find this in many parts of the text. Jeremiah. Go and settle down in a country you really don't like with NEP policies. Have children and prosper. But that's not the main aim. Jeremiah tells them in exile, and when you prosper, the nation will prosper. We see this in the work of Paul with the church. It was always in places of influence, Corinth, port city, Rome. And he used his own influence in Ephesus to know the top officials. And we have to have a big picture of the church. Either that, the church becomes a holy huddle. And Daniel Ho puts it very well. He says, it is crucial for Christians to get involved in nation building because of the theological understanding of who God is. I will say what church is. Christians should speak out and work to maintain truth, righteousness, and justice for all, values which reflect God's heart. Because the church images God, to take the words of Jonathan Lehman. Christians should also be concerned about how this world is run and care for the things in it, having been given the responsibility of its stewardship. Why? Because the church reflects the kingdom of God. You are a little heaven here. We must get involved at every level of society as much as possible, as far as possible, as deep as possible. This is how you and I are a blessing to the nations. And this is the big picture of the mandate of the church. When we build disciples, do evangelism, do church life, we don't do this to form our own little club. We do this to reach out. And here, last point, the church is a pilgrim church. And this is where the entire history is important. God called out Abraham. Wow, did he really screw up, man? So he decided to help God with his wife, had a son called Ishmael. Up to today, we are still fighting with the sons of Ishmael. So God called out Jacob. This guy I really like, because Kentis is going to be sad one, you know. He was snaky. His mother was snaky. His wife was snaky. His uncle was snaky. He was dysfunctional as a father. His son liked to brag. He was not very perfect. Then God called out Israel, not because they were the most bountiful, not because they were best. Boy, did Israel screw up. So when God called out the church is going to be screwed up. So here sometimes some people tell you, I'm looking for a church which is pure. I'm looking for a godly church. I'm looking for a church where people are morally upright. I tell you, don't go to that church. You're going to spoil that church. You see, all of us are sinners. I'll tell a little bit about myself. I mean, my wife always remind me, hey, now you're elder, don't be too lanlek. That's why God gave you wives, you know. You always try to promote yourself. Okay, yes, wife. Let me tell you, I struggle with that. Some people think that, I'm second in line to take over Peter. Let me try to burst your bubble, man. Because I don't feel worthy. I'll tell you from the bottom of my heart, nothing makes me feel happier than to quit preaching. I'll tell you. But God has other plans. God wants to use us as sinners. And God told me, change a bit every day. Now here's what God wants to do to all of you. He'll whisper in your ear, you are useless. You're a hypocrite. You lead a double life. Better you just come to church, sit in a corner there, like where you've been doing for the last 30 years. That's it. That's a lie of the devil. The church is a pilgrim church. God used Abraham because he was on a journey to righteousness. God used Jacob's family. It was a journey to righteousness. God used Israel through the wilderness, through exile, as a journey to righteousness. And God will use us, you and I, imperfect, on a journey to righteousness. How do we do that? In the words of Martin Luther King, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. You sit there and you've been doing that for the last 15 years. You are just moving backward every day. But you say every day, God, I will try to be a bit more righteous, and I can do that because of the grace given to me, because Jesus, He washed away my sins. His love so fills me, Lord, that God, this is Your church, and I, together with brothers and sisters, will help me, and together we will move forward. And this is why Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, my sins, all my achievements, everything he had, reaching forth to those which are before me, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we say this, he addressed the church. So I challenge you in this new year, don't make this like any other year. Start off by year by asking yourself, why are you here in FBC? There's no such thing as PR status in the church. This is not Australia or Canada. You're either a citizen of the kingdom or you're not. Number two, there's no such thing as a long-term visitor. We don't have visa here, one, you know. You're either in or you're out. And here's again why the whole Abrahamic covenant is interesting, because every time out of a group he calls, he will call a smaller remnant. Out of Israel, out of exile, a smaller remnant. Out of Jacob's family, Joseph pulls out, not all the other brothers. And out of the church, there will be a smaller remnant. Just because you come to FBC doesn't mean you're going to go up there, you know. You're either a citizen of the kingdom of God, you're not. And if you're sitting there and you're feeling very depressed because Arnold's depressing you, again, learn to crawl. Because when you crawl, you will walk. And when you walk, you will run. And when you run, one day you will fly. Amen? I'm going to start on that. All right, secondly, the body of Christ. Again, very famous verse from 1 Corinthians. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to give you two things about it. The context is the Holy Spirit. I want you to pick that up. It's important. We're going to go to Acts after a while. But look at what Paul says. He uses two extreme groups, Jews or Gentiles. Both cannot tahan one another. Now, here's for something about church unity. Slave or free. The slave was the poorest. He had no assets. The free. During those times, you had to buy your citizenship. One is very rich, one is very poor. Then the other two is two groups of people cannot tahan. Now take that in mind, and he calls them the body of Christ. Now let me tell you why people go to church. Because psychologically, you and I are wired to be tribal. That's why some of us got drinking kaki lah, some of us got mamak stall kaki lah, tennis kaki lah, golf kaki lah. We all have gangs and friends. We are not wired to be alone. So what is happening? Why are so many churches filled? Because simply the church is part of my tribe. You see, the moment you put yourself center of anything, you expect the church to fit your needs. And this is where the trouble starts. Now, you can then start to see this in church. I want to address now ministries. I want to say this in love. Some people come, they stay. They're very involved in a certain ministry. They feel very empowered. They feel very contributing. But church is my ministry. You don't kachow me, you know. The other ministry, I don't want to know. When I was in Australia, we had people from a certain Chinese fellowship group. They were very active on campus, but they came to church, all of them sat at the back. They didn't do anything. That is not the kingdom of God. You see, the church is supposed to reflect heaven a bit. So people come in there, they must see diverse groups of people working together. So here's the first to all you ministry leaders. Ministries must work together. The moment you make your ministry the only little thing you do, you are doing self-actualization. You just don't realize it. The church is fulfilling your basic need for respect and, you know, meaning. But you are not being in the kingdom of God. Let me just pick this up a little bit. You see, Christ ascended, the book of Acts. He will come again. In the meantime, you and I are telling everybody, come and know Jesus. The world is saying, I don't see Jesus. You are telling everyone, God loved you, died for your sins. I can't see God. I can't see Jesus. What can the outside people see? Look at you, look at me. They see the church. Unless the church demonstrates heaven, unless the church demonstrates Christ, you will never reach out to people. That's why you always start with the gospel. The gospel shows us that God loved you and I so much, that is your power. So here's the starting point. You put 800 people here, some of us very thick-skinned, like me. Some of you very sensitive. Some of you shoot out your mouth, like to go and say things, like me. Some of you very quiet, don't say anything, like talking to a stone. We're all different. You put everybody together here, sure got problem, ma. Sure got issues, one. So how do you get people to move? You fill them with the gospel. And you remind them to forgive one another. You remind them to love each other deeply. You remind them how Jesus died for them. When they do that, they become community. And when they learn to love each other deeply, they learn not to be so siu-hea, confide over small things. They learn to look beyond their needs. What do? They then become missions. Hey, it looks like our church statement. Must be a coincidence, obviously. And this is why this is our mission statement. Let me try to break it down in more reality for you. There's a big debate out there. Should a church should be big or should a church be small? Okay? Now you look at the Acts, book of Acts. The first time Peter spoke, how many people got converted or became disciples? 3,000. That's a mega church. Then the chapter shifts and the text says they met together daily at the temple courts. That's a mini church. Now, what does it tell you? What it tells you, God doesn't care whether your church is big or your church is small. It can be all size. You know, sometimes insecurity comes in, we like to brag. I had lunch with dinner with my cousin in Singapore. Not everyone's like you, Lam. Let me just explain a bit. So I went to brag to my cousin, my church, 800 people. Whoa. Never ever brag about the size of a church to a Singaporean, except you, Lam, because he's from Reformed Church. Wow, my cousin's wife like took a deep breath because he was waiting. Come on, say it. So I had to ask her. How big is your church? Very, very carnal questions. So deep breath. My church, she eyeballed me, 6,000 members. Wow, I had to go and hide my face, you know. Then to rub it in even more, you know, Arnold, when we have church camp, we cannot find a hotel in Malaysia big enough for us, you know. We got to book Putrajaya Marriott. Book already, still not enough. We take the Palm Hotel. We got to take two hotels. Okay, kaula. I get it.
But church can be big, can be small. Let's not argue whether it should be a house church, whether the best model of church should be a city church or small churches. The church is all size, all people, all generation. It's intergenerational. Now here's an indictment to us in love. If you take that, and this is how heaven is going to be like, church should be populated by people like this. Now let's look around and see how many of these people are in FBC now. See a lot of Chinese people, very few Indians. See a lot of 50-year-old men, women. Look very upper class to me. Don't see any drug addicts. But you see where we're going with this. Now, we start off the year by doing an indictment on ourselves. I ask you a simple question. If you go and ask the wantan min seller or the kai fan fellow just opposite courtyard mall and say, hey, tomorrow you come to church with me, you think he come to church? He come in, so look at you, get scared already, all run off already. Until we have it in our heart, you know, that church is this. We are not showing the kingdom of God. And at this point, I'd like to thank those who have stepped up. Sister Sao Chung, who does work with the Nepali. Brother Sam, who does a lot of work with the poor. Pastor Rama, who does street feeding. Pastor Lawrence with Makaria's home. Brother Jim, who does work among those with special needs. They are doing this. By the way, in church, you don't subcontract this work out, though. We did not subcontract this out to Sao Chung or Pastor Rama. It is my responsibility and your responsibility. So here's a very little simple test we can do. Like we say, we learn to crawl first before we learn to fly. So we're going to crawl today. After church service today, a lot of you are going to migrate out there to the table. And then you have all your regular kaki. This is what Peter told the assembly of leaders yesterday. I thought it was really very simple and profound. You start off this year by inviting a newcomer to your table, can or not? We're not going to break you up. Make it your goal this year, wherever you're sitting in your own little tribe, tribe, I use the word again, that meets your needs, because you're all same kaki. Make it this year's goal to invite two or three people to join your table. You do that, by the end of this year, we will have three people. If you get two people per table, we have 20 people. You see where we go with this? Learn to crawl. Then learn to walk. Take small steps. But if year in, year out, the church is just made out of upper middle class Chinese-speaking folk, and we cannot get more Indians in our church, more poorer people in our church, more people of that, we are not showing the kingdom of God. And it's maybe if we are honest with ourselves, in our deepest heart, we don't want them here. We don't mind giving money. You go worship another church, but don't come into my church. Think about this. And let me just end with this on this second part, is this. Look, it's not easy to love the poor or the disabled or people who are different color skins. It's not easy for 50-year-old people to love young people. It's very hard for young people to love older people. We'd rather go with our own gang and be our own tribe. And that's why, again, Acts is such an important model, because when you look at Acts 2, when we say, the believers had everything in common. They loved one another. If God is beginning from Pentecost, you can only do it if the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Because naturally, I don't want to love a lot of some people. Some people I cannot tahan. You also cannot tahan me. See me also walk the other way. Not everybody, but we're all human. Very easy to talk to you all, but it's not easy to do this. We need the Spirit. And in this case, I think we owe a favor to the charismatic church. Because word-based churches miss this. And this is why I lead to the last point. The most important point we want to pick up today is the church is the worshiping community. Now, I want to close with this point. I'll ask you a question. Why Christians like to sing one? Go for funeral, must sing. Buddhists got sing at funeral, not Muslims got sing at funeral. Hindu, only Christians' funerals also sing. Go for wedding, must sing. Come to church, must sing. Go to small group, must sing. Sing, 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 sing. What's with you people? Why every time want to sing? Now, there's a reason for it. Now, worshiping can be many things, but let me just go back a little bit. And here's one of the divisions in church. Some people, like all our younger people, they like that kind of worship. Wow, I better not do it. I look very stupid as a 51. You better do that. That's for our worship service. That's Planet Shakers. Some of you older people see that, wow, heart attack, man. Beta Hana. What is this? Turn the church into a rock concert. The older people like the other one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, the function of the church in its fundamental identity is worship. You miss that, we miss everything. Because worship is where the Holy Spirit flows. It's where empowerment happens. When we as a church worship, the Spirit anoints. And then when the church goes out to Monday to Saturday, in a world that hates you, in the job where your boss is going to say things about you, people backstab you, in your family where you have problem, in broken marriages, in all of that, when the Spirit goes upon us as a church, the Spirit anoints. That's what Pentecost is teaching you. And when Pentecost came upon them, that's why in Acts 2, the church could meet together, love one another, and that's why their numbers grew daily. You miss this, you miss why you sing. And I said it before, then you're just doing Christian karaoke. How do we find that? Let me give you one key verse, and it's from Hebrews. And Hebrews says this. Now, you read the way the two texts are tied. The first one's on singing. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a what? Sacrifice of praise. That's singing, huh? The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. You see, God's not concerned about form, whether you want to do Hill songs, Planet Shakers, or Wesley hymns. Now, look at the second verse and see how the two are tied. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. That's what you and I do every day, you know. What's that got to do with verse 15? Look at the key verse. And with such sacrifices, God is pleased. What is the key word in verse 15 and verse 16, which is repeated? Come on, guys. Sacrifice. The Hebrew writer is telling you, if you come to church and you worship like that, hallelujah, hallelujah, hurry up, lunchtime, hungry. You can forget about the Holy Spirit coming in, and you can forget about being a blessing to the nations on Monday to Saturday. We're going to road test this afterwards with a closing song. Take this seriously. How you worship on Sunday affects how you worship the rest of the week. Now, we can take worship beyond just singing. It's about prayer and sermons, everything. But this morning, I want to concentrate on singing because I think that's one area, learn to crawl, small little things we can do. That's the evangelical problem. The charismatic problem is, wow, hallelujah, hallelujah, wow, shock, man, hallelujah, God, I love you, I love you. Monday, forget already. Got high already. So Scripture tells us this, you worship in spirit and truth. That's why worship must take you back to the cross. So what we're going to do afterwards, I'm going to close in a short while. I'm going to encourage you to start off this year by singing to God from the deepest of your voice. You want to raise your hands, you raise your hands. You want to stand straight, you stand straight. But please don't put your hands in the pocket. Please don't play your handphone. And you and I, as a body, as a spiritual family, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's what we are, we're going to say, how great thou art. Amen? And I will tell you this, when we sing together
How great thou art, focusing, God, you are great because Christ died for me and your love so overflows me. I'm going to go out there to work tomorrow and I'm going to be your ambassador and I will bless the nations. I'll look for opportunities to share the good news and we will then make disciples of the whole world. So let me just end as we bring up the worship theme. The church is the people of God. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the worshiping community. The church is not a football field. And you are not a spectator. They call this in business the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, where 20% of the church does 80% of the work. The church is all of you. It should be the other way around. It should be 80% and 20% don't do. You know why? Because the 20% should be newcomers. So this morning, I want to start off on New Year resolution. Would you start off your New Year resolution by taking a small step to be part of the church? I'm going to encourage you all to do three things. One, be a member of the church. It took me a long time to be a member. But I'm going to encourage you. Now, if you are not comfortable, talk to us why. Because membership is vital, because membership shows your body of Christ. If you've been in the church for many years, you're not a member, I humbly ask you to ask why. Number two, join a small group. If you're not in a small group, ask why. Because the church is both big, 3,000 members, and it's family. If you're not family, you're not a small group, you're not family. Lastly, serve. Because you don't serve, you're not in the body of Christ. Now you sit there and you're hesitating. And again I say, crawl. And when you crawl, you will walk. And when you walk, you will run. And when the church runs, the church will fly. And we, the people of God, will show everyone out here, this is the image of God. This is the image of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Press forward. Press towards God. Lord, we just come before you now as we prepare our hearts to sing, how great thou art. And Lord, we recognize there is power when two or three are gathered in your name. So when we, as a body of Christ, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, as a spiritual family, O Lord, as we gather as a worshiping community and we lift our voices to you to glorify you, to worship you, there is anointing, there is power. The Spirit will move towards us and the Spirit will fill us, energize us, and tomorrow when we go to work, we will be your ambassadors and we will bless the nations. We will go forth and make disciples of all men and we will wait for your return. We say it in Jesus' name, amen. Shall we rise and we're gonna